G'day everyone, welcome to another Toon Under podcast, the Southern Hemisphere's biggest and best podcast, all things Newcastle United. Tonight we're going to launch a new series for the podcast. We've called it the United Series, where we catch up with Newcastle fans all around the world and talk about their journey and how they come to support this great club. So our very first guest, episode one, he spent 3 years as a backup keeper at Western United to Philip Curto and Jamie Young. Now he's launched into signed a new contract with the Box Office Jets, and he's their number one now, firmly established himself as the main man for the Jets. It's Ryan Scott. Ryan, how are you going?
I'm well, going well, thanks. Thanks for having me on, guys.
No worries. And fresh off a man of the match performance against Melbourne City on the weekend as well. So once I'm joined by Jimmy as well. Jimmy, how are you, mate? Sorry.
I'm good, mate. Very excited to talk to Ryan. As I said, he's fresh off a man of the match performance against our bitter rivals, me and Keegan's bitter rivals. So, yep, we're quite happy about that and looking forward to chatting all things Toon.
Yeah. So, how this has all come about is we found out pretty much post game Saturday that you're a huge Newcastle fan, and we thought, what better way to sort of chat to someone than who loves the club and stuff like that. So. You're born in Victoria, moved into Coffs Harbour when you're a young fella and sort of grew up playing there. How does someone who's a young 8-year-old kid come to support Newcastle United while you're living in Coffs Harbour?
Yeah, funny one. My dad is born in Newcastle, so he's a Geordie. He moved over when he was 12. He's got three other siblings, but him and his dad are Newcastle and two of my uncles are Sunderland. So it's there's a bit of a divide in the family with yes. Broadest challenges. They moved over when they were 12. I guess my nan and granddad just thought it'd be a better life out here for them. They moved over and me and my brother obviously followed in and my sister followed in dad's footsteps, and now there's I think my brother's had three kids and my sister's had a few kids. So, yeah, the generation of Toon fans is growing very fast in the family.
So what was the – take us back to that early childhood. What was the pull like to the red and white side? Was it a strong pull or were you always kind of anchored? Because there was a time there where we were – kind of close, like it wasn't like one side was a lot more dominant than the other.
Yeah, definitely. Well, most of my memories, I guess they're a little bit more recent, but we've always been losing to Sunderland. So, I can't remember not supporting Newcastle. So, obviously didn't have a choice with dad, feeding it down our throats. But, definitely wouldn't have changed that for the world. Obviously being on a journey with the club, a lot of lows, a few highs along the way. I guess the lows make the highs sweeter when they do come along. Mad Geordies. That's all I can say. So obviously much easier to support us at the moment, but certainly been there as long as I can remember.
Yeah, paid your dues. That's what people have to understand. We didn't just jump on in the last couple of years. We've had a lot of shit for the last 15, 16 years, especially you. Like, you, by the time you kind of got to that age where you sort of understood more and how the whole thing works, it's just been shit for you. So I'm glad you're in that sort of late 20s age bracket where you've suffered all the shit as well. And now you're at the other side, which is great. Dimmy, have you got anything?
Yeah, I'm obviously a few years older than Ryan, it's a similar age. So most of my memories as well growing up has been us being rubbish. And it's hard growing up. Obviously, I'm different to Ryan. I don't have any Geordie connections in my family. Like we've spoken about before, it was literally just me falling in love with Alan Shearer and just seeing who he played for. And that was the only reason why I followed Newcastle back in 1998. I started following the club. And it was obviously back then Newcastle were quite decent. We were a top four, top six club, but as the years went on and the ownership changed, it was rough times. And obviously everyone around you here in Melbourne, especially probably around Australia, everyone follows your Manchester Uniteds, your Liverpools, your Arsenals. I mean, some of the new ones follow Man City because they got the glory and the Chelseas, but I was just sitting there following Newcastle and watching my team lose most weeks. It wasn't really fun, but like Ryan said, when you see so much rubbish and you suffer through some bad times, you really savour the good ones. And I mean, even this weekend, a 3-1 down, a 4-3 comeback win, it might not seem like much for most football fans, but for us, these sort of memories are few and far between in the last 20-odd years. So any comeback win and especially winning it at the Gallagher end like we did with Barnes's strike, it was great to see, and hopefully there's a lot better memories, not just a standard Premier League win. Hopefully there's some trophies in the near future for us, and I think it'll be definitely well-deserved for supporters like us who have seen the rubbish, just glory hunters, just following the big clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a favourite memory, mate, when you were growing up? What sort of stood out to you that you can remember?
Yeah, so I guess, so as far as back I can remember is sort of, I'm talking the era of obviously Alan Shearer, Nobby Solano, Laurent Robert, them sort of players, Nikos Dabizas. I guess that's when I started to get what was going on. But probably a time that stood out for me was, I think it was that season under Pardew where we really got rolling. I think the Derby win 5-1, that was a highlight sitting there watching with Dad and obviously my brother. But then in more recent years, obviously I'd moved back to Melbourne and saw the Aussie Mags, which was a supporters page. And then we'd go down to the Sherlock Holmes, met some great people down there, and we watched a lot of the games. As you touched on, how not many people support us and everyone, you know, the bandwagons or whatever. So to actually find somewhere that I could go watch the games with, Newcastle supporters was really special. We didn't win much when I went and watched the other part. A couple of derby defeats in a few of them, six in a row, whatever it was. Some somber nights, but just finding the connection, through fellow supporters. And then I was lucky enough to get over, I reckon it was 20. So the first time I went, I was over for a soccer trip with the Aussie schoolboys, and mum and dad come over with my brother, and we had a day off there, and we went to watch us play West Ham away at Upton Park when it was still, I think it was, might have been the last season of Upton Park. We won 3-1. I remember Luke Remy scored a double. I think who else scored? I can't remember.
Was that Kabai scoring that cracker? Was that that one?
Yeah, that's the one.
I knew you'd know it.
Yeah, I've got a video. I've got some good photos, and we're singing that Don't Sell Kabai, that chant. So, yeah, that was a magical day in the away end. When you're actually there, like, it was just so euphoric, something completely different to what I could even imagine. And then a few years later, I was actually on a trip to Bali on an end-of-season trip for my Bentley side, and then my brother was on his honeymoon with his missus in, like, the UK, and they were going to go to the Newcastle Brighton at home. And obviously I had a few beers and decided to book a flight and meet them up there and deal her ticket for the game, and went to the match with my brother, and I literally got there. I think I got there on the Thursday. The game was Saturday, and I flew back to Melbourne on the Sunday, and we lost 1-0. So, I got to experience St James Park, which was obviously a dream of mine. Did like the same to when I got to walk out on the pitch, and I remember the goosebumps and the emotion that was going through the body. But yeah, so many great memories over the years.
Yeah, I've got goosebumps just you telling that story. I think we all remember our first time there. Just a couple of things. I just want to circle back and just make sure I heard this right. So you were going to the Sherlock Holmes when you were with Western United. Is that right?
I reckon more before.
Yeah.
Definitely. Probably talking maybe 2015, 16, 17, around sort of then. I think I'm not sure if I'd been, once I was with West United, sort of hard with the my games and
travel and recovery and everything like that. Yeah.
I probably tend to watch it more at home now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually funny with your story. So everyone knows this story already, but you don't know it, so it's fun to tell it. At the start of last season, Dimmy was on his honeymoon in Greece with his wife and got tickets for the first game against Forest. So he left his wife in Greece and flew to Newcastle to go to the Forest game and then flew back to Greece on honeymoon.
In my defense, I didn't leave her on her own in Greece. She had her family happened to be in Crete at the same time. And the flight from Crete to Newcastle was 4 hours. So I thought, why not? It's a 4-hour flight.
Yeah,
that's flew into Newcastle Friday night at like midnight. The game was Saturday at 3 p.m. And then I'd flown back to Greece by Sunday, 1 o'clock. So literally less than 48 hours, I was in and out.
Yeah, the hit and run. Go on.
And we won 2-0. And
yeah, I remember the game.
Cher scored an absolute banger. And yeah, the atmosphere at St. James's Park, I was tearing up as the boys came out. I was just in complete awe of the stadium and the atmosphere. And I was lucky enough to get a seat in the Gallagher Den too. And it was actually quite cheap, which was surprising. But it was, the atmosphere was unreal. And I think with the people around me, they started hearing me sort of comment and talk during the game. And thinking, this guy's not local. And then they realized that I wasn't some lonely traveler. I was quite a passionate Newcastle fan. And they got around me, which was good. But hopefully we can get there soon again. That would be lovely.
Absolutely. So Ryan, when you were growing up, did you have a favorite player? Was he a goalkeeper, or did you like an outfield player? Or you kind of stuck to what you liked?
Yeah. Well, I actually didn't start goalkeeping until later, so I always played on the field until I was about 16. So I used to be a striker. Well, I used to think I was a striker.
all did.
I was Shearer, obviously younger, and then Andy Carroll, Kevin Nolan. Got a couple of pictures just over there. Kevin Nolan, when he scored against Sunderland. I just love them players. Even Joey Barton, just people who fought for the badge, fought for the club, especially in the tough times that we found ourselves in over the years. But yeah, that was the standouts. Amiobi as well. I could name him forever.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, what do you think about the current season at the moment? What are your sort of thoughts on that?
Look, I think how good we went last season probably, I guess our expectations are high now. I didn't expect it to go as well as we did last season, which I guess makes this season maybe look not as good as it is. If we flipped around, if this season was last season and, we sort of down the bottom went to, 8th, 9th and then to 4th, you'd be thinking it's amazing. But, I was obviously so happy with how we went last year. So this year, look, I probably expected us to drop a little bit, when we got the Champions League and I guess all the games we're playing, if you look at the injuries we've had throughout the season as well, at the end of the day, when these things happen, it's hard to, I guess, maintain the performances every week, and which, the teams at the top are so good. So hard to keep up with them. We managed that last year. I guess Villa's probably doing what we did last year. Obviously I want to win silverware. We all do. We're all starving for that, but I'm not too concerned that we've maybe dropped off a little bit this season as opposed to last. I guess if we can, get some more players in the summer and then, keep building. As long as we keep building and moving forward, I'm happy.
Yeah, right. So just I'd like to pick your brain just for a second. So you're in the professional environment, so you get access to the doctors, the physios full time, the strength and conditioning team and all that sort of stuff. We've had back injuries and ACLs and dislocated shoulders and everything like that. Is that all, as far as you'd know, is that all just a bad luck? Like, do you guys do any, I guess, strength training and all that to stop an ACL and things like that? Or is it just if they go, they go? Like, you can't really train for that?
Yeah, look, I think obviously, especially in these days, the gym side of the, you know, training program is so big compared to what it used to be. There's obviously so much sports science, you know, tracking everyone's data throughout the games, through the trainings. Like, obviously, we've got our GPSs on every day. The S&C coaches know exactly how many meters we've run. They know where to draw the line, right? If you've hit this for the session, like, that's it, inside. This, you know, we've got a game to prepare for. So it's very scientific, I feel, these days. And I guess, yeah, with the, I guess injuries like ACLs and impact injuries, I guess if they go, they go. Like, I don't think, I mean, you can strengthen your knee all you want, but if you land in that certain spot that's going to, you know, rupture your ACL, then it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You see it all over the world. And then, yeah, with the impact injuries, if you get hit in the wrong spot, obviously the point of doing the gym is to strengthen your body, that it happens on a minimal scale. But I guess, yeah, some teams just have them years where, you know, the medical table's full and the physios have their hands full all season, which is unfortunate, but it's a part of the game. And I guess if you look last year, we're probably pretty healthy for, you know, the majority of the season. And I guess we saw that in our position on the table.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. Like, I've never seen anything like it, mate. Like, in any team sport, the amount of injuries we've had that are bad luck injuries is just ridiculous. Like, it's crazy. So this is interesting. Like, I've always wanted to ask, like, professional people this with an affection for a club. In any sport, how do you go about watching the club now? Like, are you a bit more removed because you're a professional now? Are you still chips in like you were 10 years ago?
Yeah, look, it's a question I actually think about myself sometimes. I feel like I still follow Newcastle as passionately as I do. Probably the difference is now I don't watch every game live. You know, if I've got to try to prepare best for my games and training as well. So if there's a game, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes I've got to sort of let it slide and just catch up with it the next day.
Do you still do that though?
Yeah, yeah, I still watch the games if I don't.
Which is great, like in the era we live in now, where you can get up at 7 o'clock and keep your phone on Do Not Disturb and go into Optus and just watch it and see what happens.
Yeah, recap. I feel the probably one thing I've lost, I used to watch a lot of football. Like, I, you know, watch heaps of Premier League games. Now I sort of, you know, if there's an early game, I'll watch that. But I'll, yeah, try to watch Newcastle. And then other than that, I'll probably watch more A-League than the Premier League these days, obviously, because I'm playing in it and I've got a few mates who play in different teams and probably more of a interest in that for me. But, Newcastle's always at the top of the tree.
Yeah, that's good. Dimmy, you got anything, mate?
I do. Just on the injury side of it. So I know how you said you guys wear GPSs during training, and I know that's pretty common. I think so. Do your coaches at the Jets, they actively pull people out of training if you've reached a certain level? So I know that happens in footy. If you hit a certain, whatever they call it, target during the week, that they pull you out of training saying this guy can't train anymore. Yeah. Is that happening at the Jets as well? Because I'm thinking at Newcastle, what in terms of Newcastle in England, what probably has happened for us is we train at such an intensity and we're having games twice a week for the first 6 months of the season. We probably didn't have the luxury to manage workloads as much as we wanted to. And that's where you've seen hammies go, calves go, and the soft tissues. Do you agree to that sort of train of thinking in terms of overload, that's where the soft tissues come in?
Yeah, I guess, like, I agree with you. I'd say probably it's more on a team scale. So let's say our first session back, the target's probably 5Ks. So, like, they don't want to go over 5Ks. So obviously everyone's doing the same drill. So everyone's sort of around the mark, obviously, depending on your position you play. But, there's always, like, a set target of the output for the session. And then, you know, if, let's say, for example, the team's gone a little bit over that for the session, you know, maybe they say, boys, all right, we're not doing any extras today. So you might have your session and your strikes, we're going to do some finishing and that. If it's been a big session, then they might say, boys, not today, get inside. because they obviously got the game in mind for the weekend. Yeah, the big difference for us to there is the amount of games that they play. Like, we've got 27 games, and we have, you know, if you go on a cup run, you might play another five, which is at the start of our season. But when we have the short turnarounds, you literally play the game, recover. Yeah, you might do one tactical session on the pitch. You'll probably do more video than actually being out on the pitch, because it's all about recovering from the last game and getting ready to go for the next one.
Yeah, nice. So we don't want to sort of dive too deep into your private stuff, mate, but I believe your contract's till the end of next season at the Jets. Do you have a Premier League out clause or anything like that? Because I think I might know a club who might be looking for a goalkeeper in a couple of months' time.
Mate, if I could end up in the Premier League, then I've conquered the world. I've got another year at Newcastle here, which I'm really enjoying my time up here. I was at Western United for 4 years and was sort of got a bit of a run a few years back, and then sort of found myself back on the bench. Jumped an opportunity to come up here and established myself this season. We haven't, I guess, gone too well as a team, but individually, I guess I've felt like I've, you know, made a good step in my career this season. Hopefully, the club's not in the best of shapes at the moment. There's been a bit of talk about our ownership, because obviously we don't have owners at the moment, so we're trying to get that finalised in the next few weeks, and hopefully that gets sorted and be at Newcastle again next year. But if I could go to the Prev, geez, that'd be a dream.
I was wondering, when you're watching Newcastle now, obviously you're a fan first and foremost, but when you're watching Dubravka and you're seeing that, I've got my issues with Dubravka, and he gets beaten constantly on his right hand side, and he just doesn't seem to. I'm not sure if it's positioning. You'd probably know better than us. Do you find that his positioning is out of whack? He seems to have cement boots sometimes. He doesn't come out of his box. What do you think of Dubravka's positioning, and sort of do you get as frustrated as everyone else does, especially you being a professional goalkeeper, in terms of the things that he's not doing?
Yeah, look, probably for me, I'll probably go the other way. I understand how every goalkeeper is so different. I play such a different style to, I don't know, probably most keepers. Like, I try to play a really high line and come and sweep as much as I can. That's a strong point for me, so that's something I try to do to help the team. Whereas other keepers might prefer to sit more in their goal. Yeah, with him, look, it's obviously doing it every day. I know how hard it is to save the ball, and you always do your best. So I'm not too critical. I'm a massive fan of Nick Pope when he's fit and firing, but he's obviously another one that's succumbed to the injuries this season. I think obviously I appreciate that Dubravka stayed around, because he sort of just got pushed to the side, because I used to be a big fan of him when he was playing a couple of years ago, especially when we were struggling a bit. He was a lot more busy. It is what it is. Can't say anything more.
No. Do you think, so, like the sweeper keeper, like you said, do you think that's something you can teach a goalkeeper, or it's just some keepers have it and some keepers don't?
Yeah, look, for me, that's all just like reading the game. So, and I guess it depends how you play as a team as well. I guess if your team's playing high, and, then especially these days, usually the coach will want you playing high as well. Whereas some teams are happy to sit a bit deeper if, the opposition's got quick wingers that are making runs in behind, they don't want to get done in behind. So, for me, that's all, I guess, just seeing the game. And I don't know if maybe me playing on the field has helped me in some parts of my goalkeeping. I think it has, especially like with my feet and stuff, because obviously, a lot of teams play it from the back and that now, especially over here. Sometimes wouldn't mind just pumping it up the guts, but everyone wants to play out the back. There's so many different elements to the position. Everyone thinks the goalkeeper's job is just to keep the ball out of the net, which it is, but So many different, you know, parts of the position that make up the goalkeeper.
Yeah, right. Now, just before we finish this up, mate, in about 8 weeks' time, Newcastle are coming to Melbourne. Now, for those of you who are watching or listening, I absolutely encourage you to go to the A-League website and you can vote for Ryan to represent the A-League All-Stars against Newcastle. Now, Dimmy, I voted today and it hurt me not to vote for Paul Izzo, but I put that aside and I voted for you, Ryan. So if you can get enough votes, absolutely, we'd love for you to do it. If for some reason there's a glitch in the system, there's a Donald Trump conspiracy against you that the votes for you aren't getting counted properly, are you going to come to the games or not?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've already got tickets for both games. So I'll definitely be there. Look, if I can sneak my way into the A-League All-Stars, I'd be stoked. Believe it or not, I'm not sure if you know, but I know Paul Izzo is a big Newcastle fan as well.
Really?
Yes.
No, Dimmy, how did you not know that?
How do I not know that? Well, I've got to get on.
Yeah, Paul's on next week. He doesn't know it yet, but Paul's on next week.
It's going to be a goalkeeper only session.
Yeah, I don't know him personally, but I know he's a big, big Newcastle fan. Look, if I was able to be out there, it'd be a dream come true. Never think you'd be on the pitch with the team you've supported your whole life. I remember when I played against Stephen Taylor years ago
when he was at
Wellington. I was still at Bentley at the time. What a spin out that was for me. I actually met him in Wellington when Newcastle came over. It was a few years ago now, but I went over there and had a picture with him when he was still at the turn. Played against him, and that was surreal. So yeah, if I was actually out there playing against Newcastle, it'd be quite magical. But if not, I'll be probably sitting with you blokes, singing my heart out. So
yeah, well, I think we're all sitting together for the MCG game. We all got tickets together in the active end. So all the podcasts minus I think Lee and Jack aren't going, but then Jack's bringing his daughter down for the A-League All-Stars game. So I'm bringing my missus and kids up as well, so we'll be there both games. I've taken Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off work, so I'll probably end up going up there Thursday as well and sniff around and see what I can find. And hopefully they'll do an open training session or something where we can all go along and have a look as well. But that'll just about do us, mate. I can't thank you enough for jumping on. Good luck this weekend against Sydney. I think if there's one thing we love more than City dropping points, Dimmy, it's Sydney dropping points. So,
exactly.
Good luck, mate. I hope you rip it again. Man of the match performance, fantastic. And when you're in Melbourne, mate, if you're looking for someone, we'd love to catch up for a beer or a coffee or whatever you like to drink, mate, and shoot the breeze a little bit more, mate.
Yeah, too good. Thanks for having me on, guys. Enjoyed it.
No worries. Cheers, Dimmy, mate. Thank you very much, mate.
No worries, Peaks. Take care, buddy.
See you, guys. We'll see you on the next one.
Too easy. Thank you.